Bandwidth for this podcast is brought to you by CashFly at CACHEFLY.com. This is We Have Communicators, episode 194, recorded on December 14th, 2013. Enjoy! All right, it's time for We Have Communicators, the show that covers all things iOS and beyond. I'm Michael Johnston, and with me is Adam Christensen from the MacCast. Hey, Adam, how you doing?
I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm good.
Yeah, it's Saturday.
It is Saturday. We had to hold things up a little bit because Jeff Gamet of the Mac Observer, he's here. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, sorry for delaying us.
Yeah, it's okay. You had to have some outpatient surgery.
Sure. Yeah. I would call it outpatient surgery.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to delve into exactly what it was.
They can go listen to the Context Machine.
Yeah, go listen to the Context Machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Had something to do with his inability to make babies now.
Right. I'm shooting blanks.
Yeah. Good job.
Pew, pew, pew.
All right, I already don't like where this is
going. I agree. Yeah, let's not go any further than pew pew. So, we're all five, apparently. So, Apple has ceded beta 2 of iOS 7.1 to developers, and that's super cool.
Continue with the innuendo.
Have I?
Yes, seed.
Yeah. Okay, I didn't say it. You guys did.
No, you said it. Adam just pointed it out.
All right. Anyway. They released beta 2.
And that's a euphemism too.
Okay, well, we're just going to have to deal with it now. So, I guess there really weren't a lot of changes with beta 1, but it seems as though, and maybe they were adding a car display. I can't recall. Yeah. Maybe that was beta 1.
All I care is did they make it less crashy?
I think, okay, so that's one of those things. Yeah, they people say that they've made the transitions faster. I'm looking for this article on 9to5 Mac. The 9to5 Mac always does an awesome roundup of the beta releases and what's changed in it. So,
you know, it's great that they have access to people that are willing to share all that information with them. So they don't have to break NDAs.
I agree. Yeah, definitely. Oh, one really cool thing that they've added is you can now turn on button shapes. So
I am so glad.
Yeah.
What's a button shape?
So, you know, the tap area where, you know, like the edit button or the go back button in the navigation bar, et cetera. Right now in iOS 7, of course, it's changed to just simple text. And
right.
Before
you, like, as an end user, I can turn on button shapes?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. It's
sweet.
I would assume it's an accessibility option.
I should probably download that beta and install it then.
Yeah, I'm kind of interested in checking it out.
It's considering I'm in the developer program.
Yes, yeah. You need to get right on that.
Well, then you wouldn't be able to talk about it right now. Well, now you could because 9to5 is spilling all the beans.
Yeah,
exactly. I can talk about anything that's been publicly outed.
Right.
Yeah. And one thing they say, so I said the animations are faster. They say the animations are faster or now even faster than in beta 1. So I guess that means the animations are getting their stuff sorted out.
They
realized that they were too slow.
Yeah, what the hell? I've been, by the way, I've been running with the motion off setting.
I think people will still, even with the faster animations, choose to run with the motion off.
Yeah, I'll have to see. Mainly I like the animations. They're fun. Although I think it just takes forever for those icons to throw down onto the on the springboard. But the big issue for me is being able to perform any sort of action while I'm waiting for the animation to happen. And I think that back before iOS 7, the animations could still be going, but you could tap on the thing and it would still go and it would just cut off the animation and continue on to what you want to do. And obviously it doesn't work that well now.
I ran across something else like that recently where, like, I was locked out of actually doing anything till some stupid animation, but it wasn't iOS 7. Mm. That is frustrating.
Yeah. They say that Control Center has a new bounce animation when you toggle it. and a new label to show you which app audio is coming from. I haven't seen any screenshots of what that looks like, though.
I could see where that would be really useful.
Is it?
Yeah.
It's a,
to know where your audio is coming from?
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, so like if it's coming out of the music app or if it's coming out of Instacast or Safari or what have you,
it'll say.
So you know where to go to stop the audio.
I always just tap on the...
You can stop it in the control center, but it's still just kind of nice to know.
Cause... Yeah. Yeah, that is nice.
Yeah, because right now it doesn't show you. It just shows you the track information. It's not going to tell you what app. So
yeah, that's
are they
true.
Just like badging it with a little mini icon or something like that? You think, or maybe just even text?
I don't know. I haven't seen the interface. I haven't seen the
icon,
interface.
Like a little badge. That would be easy, and that would be consistent.
Yeah. Well, other than the fact that the control center is just all text and sort of black and white, there's no color in it whatsoever. So I don't know if they'd want to add an icon.
They could put a little speaker icon, a little white speaker icon.
Yeah, but that doesn't tell you
what app. Yeah. I mean, the whole point is it's telling you somehow.
Well, I mean, if it's right beside it.
I guess we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, as I think about
it. I find a screenshot of it.
Yeah, I'm sure I could find it somewhere. It's I'm sure it's like buried in one of the Mac Rumors forum threads. Someone probably posted it somewhere. But I guess I buried the lead here because I think the most important change is that they added a list view back to calendars.
Excellent.
So now calendar won't like completely suck.
I use Fantastical.
I do too, but that's only because I didn't have a list thing, and I'm not convinced that Fantastical does anything for me other than give me a list view. Although I'm probably doing it
wrong. It makes it much easier to enter appointments.
Well, all I know is that aren't you supposed to be able to dictate to it?
Oh yeah, it works really well. I've done it.
It works horribly well. I think I said Starbucks with Ben at such and such date, and it did something completely wrong.
See, do you speak nice to Siri? Do you treat her politely?
I try really hard. I turn it off. I turn off Siri before I start swearing at her most of the time.
Okay.
So she can't hear me or about how I want to smash my phone because I know that I'm $50 and some days $50 seems like the right price to pay to just destroy my phone. Because I hate it so much, and I'll just get a new one from Apple because I have Apple Care.
Well, maybe she's picking up on your frustration.
It could be. Yeah, she could be like an animal. She could be like a dog, and she like is picking up on the mood and isn't down for it.
Yeah. See, Siri tends to work really well for me, and I've noticed that a lot of people that complain about Siri also say that. They say mean things to Siri and so.
Oh yeah, I mean I've made.
I was wondering if maybe if you're nice to Siri, she works more reliably.
Maybe.
And if you're a jerk to her, then she suddenly has problems connecting to the internet and can't understand what you're saying.
I think we just need couples therapy.
That could be. You know, so therapy, even for healthy couples, can still be a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. There's a new background, new wallpaper for the iPad Air. I guess it's the one that was in the iPad Air ad. There was a dark keyboard option where you could just keep a dark keyboard on for every situation. I guess that's no longer there. I don't know if they're going to keep that or not. That seemed like an interesting idea. I don't know if I would care one way or the other.
Did you see that the third-party app Flexi, which is an alternate keyboard kind of app, now has the ability to work with inside other apps? I think they have an API or something available.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah. So you can start to get really alternate keyboards.
What is this called? It's called Flexi, but how do you
say it? Flexi?
I thought it was Flesky.
There you go. It was originally designed for visually impaired people mostly, but it's like a super fast, really accurate predictive typing keyboard. So the idea is you just have muscle memory of sort of where the keys are, you just type without looking at the screen, basically, and it will sort it out for you. The app itself is really cool. Allison Sheridan told me about it when I was at Nerdtacular. Now I guess the latest version has integration inside a couple apps, I think including one of the Twitter clients now.
I see.
I think they launched with like four apps, but you can totally replace the built-in keyboard with the Flesky keyboard.
So, okay, only in certain apps, though. It's kind of like a text expander style thing where it has to be...
Yep.
Okay.
They made an API available, though. But just the fact that you can do it at all is kind of a big deal.
Ugh.
Yeah, I'm surprised. I didn't expect Apple to ever allow something like that.
Well, who knows what they're actually doing, right? I don't think they're hooking.
Well, but the point is if they're doing it, somebody else can do it, and Apple's approved it. Obviously, approved the apps through. So, you know, at least there's some way for alternative keyboards to come to iOS, which I know a lot of people like. I'm perfectly fine with Apple's keyboard. I'm not going to look for apps that replace mine, but I know there's people that want alternative ones. So. And, you know, there's like people who like the swipe style keyboard.
Yeah.
So maybe someone will develop one of those.
Yeah. Can you hear anyway. Can you hear that banging in the background?
Is that kitty?
That's the cat throwing
its kitty, bad kitty.
Throwing its full weight against the door. It's just gone crazy now. I'm certainly not awesome. Letting it in. It's just going to cause more problems if I let it in.
So I can't find anything in these screenshots for showing how they're indicating the thing. But is there a landscape? Is there now an official like landscape keyboard on the iPhone? Is that part of beta 2? Because there's a couple screenshots in here, but I can't tell if they're just mock-ups or wishful thinking.
A landscape keyboard? I mean, you can...
Control Center, excuse me. Landscape Control Center.
Oh, okay. I don't know.
Oh, a landscape.
I would be surprised if there is, only because you can't have landscape for the home screen.
Yeah.
I don't know. If this thing is real, it looks dumb because it's got like the icons on the left and the right. It looks weird.
No, I think that you can get Landscape Control Center now that I think about it. If you pull up Control Center in a landscape app, it'll be Landscape Control Center.
It will?
Yeah,
totally. Even right now?
It is on the iPad, but I don't think
so. No, even on an iPhone, totally. Yeah, open up a video, start watching it, and you'll see.
Interesting. I've never seen that. Oh, yeah, look at that. That looks dumb. I've never done that on my phone. I don't like the icons on the left and the right. It looks weird.
Whatever.
Yeah, I did it in the Maps app.
Oh, wow.
Sorry.
Yep, there you go.
I had never tried that before.
Well, there you go. Something new every day.
So you guys are going to have to explain this iBeacon thing to me because I don't know really anything about it. Is this like an NFR kind of deal? Or
no, it uses, I guess to a certain degree, although it's more push than pull.
Right.
Because it uses low energy Bluetooth to actually detect and send basically notifications, location-based, you know, micro location-based notifications to devices within range.
Yeah. So when you're in, say, within a few feet of a display in an Apple store, it can show you information about what it is that you're near.
Okay. Do you have to have an app then, or does it just say,
yes.
Hey, do you want
to... Currently, you need to have an app that is enabling support for the beacon.
So you open up the Apple Store app, because that's something that Apple has apparently started to roll out.
And then you say, yes, I want to receive iBeacon notifications.
Okay.
And then you close the app.
Okay.
You don't have to be like in the app. Like once you've said, yes, I'll let this app accept notifications. It works very much like push notifications would for any other app, right? You say, yes, I want you to allow you to do iBeacons. I forget what language they use. And then when you get near something that can trigger that app, or like can send a notification,
like a display, or if you get into the store, so like it says, here are some of the things you'll be able to do with in-store notifications. Pick up your online orders quickly. I guess it'll probably notify some staff that you're there, I would guess. View your iPhone upgrade eligibility. Woohoo.
I think with your orders, what it'll do is it'll actually, when you get to the store, it will pop, automatically bring up a thing that will bring up your like order receipt so that you can just show them like, here's my order stuff.
Oh, okay. So like a passbook.
And some of this stuff you could do before, just when you'd get into the Apple store, because you're on their Wi-Fi network, they knew you were there. So then the Apple store app could do stuff. But now it's more controlled because it can be done through iBeacons.
And this is something that can be done on, you don't need an iPhone 5S. You can do it on your iPhone 5. Can you do it on like a 4S?
Anything
or a 4?
That has Bluetooth. 4.0 low energy.
Ah, okay.
So I think it's a 4S and newer.
4S or maybe 5. I don't know.
Yeah, but I mean, it goes way beyond. I mean, the way Apple's using it is just the tip of the iceberg. It's really kind of, I think, limited in some ways. And actually, Apple's implementation of it is actually really bad and annoying.
Okay.
I went into the Apple store the day it launched to try it out, and they only had it in the accessories area. And even though I had it enabled, it took a while before I even got the notifications. So that was a little weird. It was like, wow, I'm standing right next to this stupid beacon and nothing's happening.
Oh, and you can tell where the beacon is.
Yeah, I took some photos of them. Actually, there's one up on Mac Observer. If you find the iBeacon story from this past week on Mac Observer, my
photos.
Yeah,
it's a story that Brian Chaffin wrote.
It's just looks. If you want to know what it looks like a portable hard drive, basically, with no labeling on it. It's the same color as the underside of the shelf. That's sort of Apple silver color that they use for their shelving system. And it's just this little plastic box that looks like a 2.5-inch hard drive just stuck under the shelf.
Huh. Oh, I see it. Yeah, I'll throw that into the show notes.
So it took a while for it to come up. And then when it popped up, when it finally did pop up, it said some stuff like, interested in accessories? Click here to get more information and learn how to pay with your phone or something like that. I took a screenshot of the actual message. So if you're on that page, you can probably see what that says. But the thing was, is when I swiped it and unlocked my phone, you know, to actually have it do its thing, it opened up the App Store app and just went right to the Easy Pay screen. To where I could like scan something.
Uh-huh.
But I'm thinking, you know, this is the kind of thing where it's probably somebody less technical. Like I knew what was going on, but if you've never used Easy Pay before, it didn't walk you through how to use Easy Pay.
Yeah.
It didn't bring up information about the accessories I was in front of. I mean, it would have been really cool if I'm standing there looking at laptop bags, for example. And I swipe that thing. Shouldn't it pop up and be like, here's some information on these various bags? Or how about, even better yet, how about a bag selector? So pops up, hey, what kind of, I see you're looking at bags. What kind of laptop do you have? Oh, do you have an 11,
really
13,
cool.
or 15? Oh, I have a 15. Oh, these are the ones you might want to check out, right? They're not doing anything that smart with it. So I was bummed with their implementation. The technology is cool, but they need to get a little bit more creative about how they use it, I think.
See, this would be a great place for augmented reality where it wouldn't be just a gimmick, because they could have iBeacons, figure out where you are, do what you just said, and then when it says, do you want to see bags that would be appropriate for your laptop? You say yes. And it says,
they could put little highlights around
hold
them.
Your iPhone up to the wall. So that you can see the display on your iPhone, and then it puts circles around the three bags that would be appropriate for you.
Yeah. Yeah. That'd so there's cool. some cool stuff cool stuff they could do like that. There was a piece came out this week, I mentioned this to Ken Ray too. There's one company that's going to be implementing and using iBeacons. They do digital magazines. And so they're going to do location based access to their digital magazine content. Meaning, like, imagine you go into a doctor's office in a waiting room, they'd have the iBeacon in there, and you'd be able to read and browse the magazines while you were there, the digital versions. So kind of replacing that whole real world experience. But then once you leave that area, you no longer have access to that content. And I was telling them, you know, another cool thing they could do, because it's like a push notification, would be if I go into that office and I'm reading, say, Time magazine, right? Get through with it. I go in for my appointment. I finish it. As I'm leaving, it could probably detect as I'm leaving and say, hey, we noticed you were checking out Time. Do you want to take that issue with you for 99 cents? Click here to buy it.
See, that's really smart.
Right? So they could prompt you for that, or hey, do you want to buy a subscription? So those sorts of applications are going to be really, really neat. So it's cool, because I think it's the start of seeing where people take this stuff, and it can go either way. There's going to be really cool implementations, and there's going to be really annoying implementations.
Yeah, like when you walk into a Macy's and it starts blowing up your phone and saying, "Hey, here's a deal this way and that way, and here's a coupon and." That kind
well,
of
and
stuff. Although you have to turn it on, and you have to have the app, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I mean, even Apple's implementation was guilty of that, because again, as the accessories beacons were all generic, they all said exactly the same thing. But there were four of them, one on each in my store, because they have four shelves of accessories. And as I walked toward each one, it would pop up the same message over and over again.
Maybe it's just. They're working out the bugs.
Yeah, no, I mean, they're just starting with it. It's totally beta at this point. But, you know, you would have thought they could have rolled it out a little bit better than they did. But maybe that's why they didn't give it much fanfare either.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, this might be more of a soft launch. And they'll add in more things. Well, Apple does this. They launch something, and it is very feature limited. And once it's out there, then they add new features, turn it into something much better than what they originally launched, and then it's a cool thing.
Yeah. Sounds good to me. We have some more stuff to talk about, but before we get into that, we're going to talk about our sponsor this month, which is Mackie. And it's super cool that they're sponsoring the show, because I've actually worked with their products on and off over the years, and I definitely recognize the name, and they make a lot of good stuff. I've done DJing and karaoke and whatnot using their products, specifically what they're talking about this month is their MR Mark III series. It's a new series of speakers and a subwoofer that they're now offering. The smaller end is sort of a bookshelf style studio monitor. They're all studio monitors. They're specifically designed for music. They designed them, for just basically the entire range that they could think of music, because not only are they for professionals in the studio mixing music and whatnot, they're also for people who really enjoy music and they want to have a great experience in their home. Like, let's say you have, like right now, actually I should probably replace these speakers that I've had for 10 years. They're like creative little dinky computer speakers. So they're perfect for someone wanting to upgrade from their computer speakers to something with a little more oomph and a lot more quality. They sound amazing. They're voiced by the same team that brought the legendary HR monitors, which are used in studios all over the world. And they're actually very affordable, in addition to being professional monitors. They're all wood cabinets. They have several different inputs on the back, XLR, quarter-inch TRS, and RCA on the back. So you have some flexibility there. You also have acoustic controls, so you can increase the bass if you want. You can boost or cut the highs. And they have four different models. So they have the MR5 Mark III, which is a 5 1/4 inch speaker. There's the MR6 Mark III, that's a 6.5 woofer. MR8 Mark III, that's an 8-inch speaker. And they have a subwoofer as well. It's the MR10S Mark III. And throughout the entire month of December, you can get discounts on all of these So you can save $20 on the MR5 Mark III, $25 off the MR6, $30 off the MR8, and $40 off the MR10. So you could get $60 off a pair of MR Mark VIIIs, MR3 Mark VIIIs. I'm sorry, I'm getting my numbers mixed up. It's the MR8 Mark IIIs. Or you can get $100 off a pair of MR8 Mark IIIs and a MR10S Mark III. So you could get like a super awesome setup and get $100 off of it through the month of December. And you can do that by going to Mackie.com, M-A-C-K-I-E.com, and you look for the MR Mark IIIs and go into their store. You can either buy it directly from them, I believe, or you can buy it from various retailers such as Guitar Center and a bunch of other places as well. And they all have the coupons, so you don't have to go into the store. I think you can also get it from Amazon as well if you got like the Prime and you want to get it sent to your house. It'd be awesome. So yeah, check them out. They're the MR Mark III series from Mackie, and we really appreciate them sponsoring We Have Communicators because they have some awesome products, and so you should definitely check these out. The Mackie MR Mark IIIs. And with that, what are we talking about here? Oh, the App Store finally hit 1 million apps earlier this month. A week ago, 1 million apps in the U.S. store.
Almost a million, right?
I believe it is 1 million in the U.S. store now.
Yeah, so they've been over 1 million worldwide, but just finally hit 1 million in the store for the United States.
Yep, and I can confirm that based on Appler's database as well. It's just over. Let me see what it says right now. 1,206,000.
But that's worldwide, right?
Yep, that's U.S. only. So it's a little bit over. And maybe
so the U.S. is at 1.2 million?
1.2.
I don't know if that's active apps.
Yeah, some of them may. Store. Yeah, it's possible some of them may be deleted. So based on that number, some are deleted. But it is over a million.
I was doing it because I ran Appler's numbers and I came up with a number just under 1 million. So of active in-store apps.
Okay. Were you tapping in the database?
Heck yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
It's good to be the king.
Yeah. Yeah. So 95% of those are crap. And it's super cool.
950,000 bad ones.
Yeah. That's a low ball right there. It's a low ball estimate. Yeah. Well, that's good. Good for Apple. Good for the developers. Good for us. Good for the consumers. I wonder what's the Google Play Store at? Probably pretty close, right?
I'm assuming they're up to like 200 apps.
No, that's not fair.
Okay, 350.
Okay, there you go. That's better. What do you guys think about the curved touch sensor and the curved displays that Apple has been getting patents for? There's been a lot of talk about curved displays these days, and I'm not sure... I understand why, and I'm scrolling down this Mac Rumor story, and I see
Display Search actually says there's actually a legitimate reason to do a convex, slightly convex curved display.
Okay,
and it has to do with reflections, basically.
So convex, so it's curved
inward. So imagine sort of
no,
just like
that's out. Concave.
Concave is inward. Convex is outwards.
Yeah. Oh, sorry, concave. I think they mean concave, right? Okay.
Well, the Apple patent, I believe, described a convex system.
Oh, convex. Okay,
which actually makes more sense to me than concave.
Okay, there's some advantage to a curved display, apparently, according to Display Search, with specular highlights and reflections and stuff like that. It can reduce some of that stuff.
So it's not like a really noticeable curve. This is going to be very unnoticeable.
Yeah, it's a subtle curve.
Okay, a very subtle curve.
And my guess is this will show up in wearable technology from Apple before it shows up in the iPhone.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and this sounds like a far superior implementation to a curved screen, excuse me, compared to what Samsung created with their what do they call it, the galaxy curve,
where it's like Samsung's is concave, then
theirs,
right?
Theirs is concave, and the whole phone is shaped in an arc, so it wobbles on a table, because that's exactly what you want in your phone.
Yeah, that's what you want, right?
A convex one, I would worry a little bit more about it being more susceptible to getting scratched, but I guess maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I can see where that would be concerned, but if it's, well, yeah.
So are we talking about...
sticking out, right? So if you put it on its face, it's going to be wobbling on the face.
Is this going to be like a hot dog or a hamburger curve?
More like a hamburger curve.
Oh, hamburger. Okay, because I know the curve, the galaxy curve is hot dog style. Right? Are we getting our hot dog and hamburger mixed up too?
We may very well. That could be awkward at parties. So what we're talking about from Apple is not the pronounced U-shape curve that you get on the Samsung thing.
Yep, the galaxy curve.
Yeah, so this would be more of a subtle hump.
And this is to reduce the reflections and whatnot from light.
Right.
Okay.
That's what it sounds like.
That sounds good to me. I like that. I mean, we've talked a lot about how much we don't really like the glossy displays, so anything that mitigates that is good to me. Although I wonder how it will feel against the face, but then again, we've all adapted to just holding flat slabs against our face now, so who knows?
Yeah, that could be a bit weird. I mean, that's where something like how Samsung's doing the curve makes a little more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, theirs was, it's supposed to fit, supposedly cut better in your hand, and I would assume it would go better against your face. I mean, you think about your standard old style phone handset, and it pretty much has a curve to it that's supposed to contour toward, you know, actually holding it to your head.
Yeah. Interesting. Have you guys, this is a really interesting story from AT&T's CEO. I believe it was from Randall Stephenson. He was talking about how the carriers are going to have to stop doing these big subsidies for smartphones soon because it's costing them way too much money.
That's no surprise at all.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, I guess it makes sense when you just disregard the fact that it seems like they're constantly stealing from us. But,
well, I mean, you got to think about the historical reason for those things too, and why in the past they would have been lucrative, whereas now they're not.
Right. Yeah.
Right. They're not lucrative now because they've already gotten over the acquisition hump. The big point behind that was to get customers to come to the networks, and that's, I would imagine, slowing way down because most people are on a carrier contract. They already have a phone, you know, so they don't need that enticement of the subsidy to get somebody to sign up for the service. They've already acquired the customer, so they were getting their ROI back because, hey, we've got new customers and now we can keep on. But now it's mostly them having to give the subsidy over again to a customer they've already acquired, and so there's a lot less value in that for them.
Yeah, that's a really expensive way to retain customers.
Well, you know, the thing that I don't get is all the carriers have just recently rolled out these upgrade programs. Does that mitigate this issue, or does it cause an even bigger problem?
That's a step towards doing away with subsidies.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I like what T-Mobile is doing. I haven't really paid too much attention to
what T-Mobile is the poster child for all this. And what I think happened was AT&T and Verizon both sat back and watched, and they said, well, let's see if this blows up in their face. And it didn't. And so they keep watching, and pretty soon they're like, well, okay, guess this is going to work, and so let's start working on our plans.
Hello.
What, did I fade out?
No, I'm sorry. It's fine.
I don't know. Michael went silent.
Yeah, I did.
Sorry, and I was off mic a little bit.
Yeah, we're all dropping the ball. Well, it'll be interesting. Do you think that... So you think that the the upgrade plans are actually improving the situation for them financially. And I don't know, I guess it is ridiculous how much these phones do cost. I mean, when you look at it, it really is a tiny computer that you're buying, because it's like the cost, it's like more than a Mac Mini that you would pay out of pocket if you wanted to get one of these things. Right.
Right. But a Mac Mini isn't a portable computer.
Yeah.
Portable computing always costs more.
Yeah.
And the smaller you go to retain the same horsepower, the higher the price goes.
Yeah. But when you look at it, the way that people are, the way people have grown accustomed to, these prices, it's going to be
just in the United States.
It's going to be a tough change though. I mean, people are going to be upset. Although
people don't seem to be having a problem with it on AT&T or on T-Mobile.
Well, that's true. But I mean, the way that T-Mobile is doing it is kind of a logical thing.
Right. So if AT&T and Verizon model their systems after what T-Mobile's doing, it will probably go okay. And outside the United States, most customers are like, what do you mean there's a regular price and a subsidy price? I don't even understand what that means.
Yeah.
So really, this kind of will bring the United States more in line with the cell phone market in the rest of the world. And ultimately, I think it's a good thing, because the idea of paying a subsidized price, knowing full well that if I keep my phone more than 18 months, that I am just giving my cell carrier free money, because they don't lower the price of my plan. So I'm liking the idea of we have to pay full price for our phone. And I like the idea of the way T-Mobile is doing it, where that gets rolled into your monthly bill. And when the phone is paid off, then your monthly bill drops in price.
Yeah, I like that too. It yep. seems so much more fair.
And it actually makes sense, which is crazy coming from a cell service company.
Yeah. It helps them pay the bills that they need to pay. They're obviously giving you an interest-free loan in exchange for your service, or their service, I suppose, you paying them for their service. It seems like a good deal. It works out. I like it.
It does.
So, yeah. Apple has added a few new channels once again to the Apple TV on Wednesday. They added ABC, Bloomberg, Crackle. I didn't see that. Crackle's cool.
No, it isn't.
Oh, it's not?
Have you used it lately?
No.
It ought to be cool.
It was kind of cool, and their content has just slowly progressed to like worse and worse.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad it's on the Apple TV now then. Another useless little icon on that box.
I kind of liked Crackle at first, but I mean, every time they add new content, you're like, really? Do we really need another Owen Wilson film on here?
Another is anybody really going to watch Mean Girls 2?
Exactly.
I won't. Mean Girls 1, that's a different story.
They made a sequel?
Yeah, they did. I haven't watched it, but I hear that it's the worst.
Wow. That is exactly the kind of content that they would have on Crackle.
Yeah.
So they probably have Iron Sky on there.
Did that suck?
Oh my God.
Is that the one with Angelina Jolie?
No, it's the one with Moon Nazis.
Moon Nazis.
Oh yeah.
Oh.
I saw that on Netflix streaming a few days ago. And it was one of the things that came up as recommended you might like. And I thought, all right, let's see. And I watch it. And all I could think is, I've really pissed off someone at Netflix. Man, it was bad.
Well, at least they didn't suggest, like, The Room to you. Have you seen that?
Oh, that would have been better.
Tommy Wiseau. It would have been better than the Moon Nazis?
Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I had the same recommendation, Jeff. It was terrible.
It looks cool. It seems like a good idea. Moon Nazis? I like Nazis, really, and I like space.
It's a really bad movie. Oh, my God, is it bad.
Yowza dowza. I should clarify, when I said I like Nazis, I like Nazi movies. Because I don't like
It's important
Nazis.
That you clarify.
It's important that I clarify. Yeah. Huh. Well, then I won't watch it. I feel like it's probably on my computer or something.
It probably is. But don't watch it. I just saved you 90 minutes of your life.
That sounds good. But the main reason I brought up this story about them adding more icons to the Apple TV is because I recently saw a tip someone else offered on the internet for people like me who like don't use 75% of those icons that are on the Apple TV now, and they're just getting in the way. You can totally hide those pretty easily. You just go into parental controls in under settings, and you don't need to set a password or anything. You just go into parental controls and just click hide again, next to all the icons you don't want, and they're not there anymore. Ta-da. Do you guys know about that?
Yeah, we ran a cool tip about it on Mac Observer a while ago.
Okay.
You can also change the order of the icons that you leave.
Yeah. You have to, if you're on your silver remote that doesn't work, you press and hold the center button and they start to wiggle like they do on your iPhone. And if you want to do it on your remote app, then you hover over an icon with your on the Apple TV home screen and press the little, it's like a set of lines, the little options button, and then they'll start mm-hmm. to wiggle. And then you can move them around the same way. So, yeah.
Which is pretty cool.
It is. It's pretty cool. So, yeah. Unless you guys have any other stories to talk about, I think it's time to get around to our picks.
I think it's pick time.
Okay, let's do picks. Jeff, what do you want to do?
All right, my pick today is a stylus. And
I wouldn't have guessed a stylus.
I know.
How many you got now? What's the count, like 40?
Many. I have many. This is the pencil from 53.
Oh.
It's and your oh is totally appropriate. So it's a Bluetooth stylus, and it looks like a drafting pencil. So it's flat instead of round, and it has a nib on each end. So one end, it's like a pencil tip, and on the other end is like an eraser tip. When you use this with the paper app from 53, it adds in new features where you can like smudge the media that you've put on the page and you know stuff like that, and it feels really good on the screen. Like really good. I was really surprised at how good it feels. And it's rechargeable, so you just grab on the pencil nib end and pull, and the guts of the stylus come out, and the back end of that is a little USB plug. So just plug it into your computer or whatever and let it charge up. And it feels really good. It feels good on the screen. And using it outside of the paper app, where it's nothing more than just another stylus, it still feels really good on the screen. It's a really nice stylus. I've had it for a couple days, and it is already in my top five of all time favorite styluses.
I have one question.
Yes.
So it looks, because I thought about ordering one, and then I looked at it, and I don't like really chunky styluses, and it looks really chunky. It looks like the tip would really obscure the stuff you're working on, which is why my favorite stylus still to date is the Jot, because it really bugs me that I can't see what I'm working on when I'm using a lot of styluses.
It of course, it obscures more than you would get with a Jot, but then again, with a Jot, you're looking through a clear disc.
Right.
It didn't obscure nearly like I thought it would. And yes, it does have a kind of a chunky tip, but I don't even know if I actually, it tapers down to where it's not even, I don't think, a 6 millimeter tip.
Well, and that's why I'm asking, because like in the photos, when you see it online, I mean, it looks like, I mean, a drafting pencil is already pretty big. Is it about the same size as a drafting pencil, or is it larger?
It's about the same size as a drafting pencil.
Okay, it looks larger to me. It looks like it looked to me almost like a Cosmonaut stylus, but in a drafting pencil form factor. That's what I was worried about.
It's a lot smaller than that. Okay, yeah. So I'm measuring it right.
Or an AluPen. I mean, the AluPen's a big chunky one too.
It's about a quarter inch thick, and it is about half an inch wide, just slightly over half an inch wide. And how long is it? It is about 5 1/4 inches long. So it's not nearly as chunky as it looks. And my concern was, because it's a drafting pencil style, that it wouldn't be comfortable to hold for any length of time, because a drafting pencil isn't really designed to be held for very long, and it's flat like that, so it doesn't roll off of stuff. But it balances well. It feels good in your hand, and I have the wood
version. Isn't it also magnetic?
The wood version is. The metal version isn't. And boy, and that's what I have, is the wood version. And boy, does it feel nice in your hand.
So you can kind of stick it to the outside of your smart cover or whatever if you want to.
Yes, and it sticks really well.
Thing looks cool.
It's very cool.
Neat.
I'm very pleased with this stylus.
Yeah, I'm going to have to play with that.
And they're about $100. I can't remember now.
$60 for the walnut and $50 for the graphite.
Oh, wow. I was way off.
Yeah, so it's not bad. Not bad at all.
It's worth the extra $10 for the walnut.
Because it has the magnetic snap, right?
That and the wood just feels really nice in your hand.
Cool. All right. That's the pencil by 53. And Adam.
All right, I'm going to pick something that I don't have, I've never used, but that I pledged for on Kickstarter, and I'm going to do it just because it's so darn cool. This company actually has some products out in the marketplace right now, but this is a whole new version, and it's called the Power-Up 3.0. So there is a Power-Up original version. And what the original Power-Up was is it's a electronics kit that you can get for paper airplanes.
Ooh.
So basically you take a paper airplane and you turn it into a powered paper airplane, which is cool enough in and of itself. But the 3.0 version is adding in smartphone controls.
Yeah, that looks cool.
So you actually will be able to have an app and you link it up and you can remote control with your iPhone your paper airplanes.
And so cool.
Yeah. There's 41 days to go on the Kickstarter. They had a pledge goal of 50,000 and they're currently at $631,000. So they've blown their goals away. They're doing all kinds of stretch goals. I know it was originally going to be iPhone only. One of the stretch goals was they are going to do an Android app. So if you're an Android person, you could check this out as well. And they have some great videos on there. If it works half as good as they show in their videos, it's going to be really, really cool. And it's using, you know, Bluetooth for the controls. It's rechargeable. It just looks like it's going to be so much fun, and I'm so excited. I am a sucker for people who listen to this podcast probably know.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for things that you can control with your iPhone, because I have a Sphero. I have the helicopter. You know, anytime one of these things comes out, I'm like, ooh, let me play with it. I like toys a lot, too, so... I saw this and it was like a no-brainer. I'm totally pledging on this. And it's like $30 to get the basic kit.
$40.
That's really cool.
$40, yeah. Well, I got in on the early bird, I think.
Oh, yeah. The early bird was 30. So, yeah, $40 now.
Still a good deal.
Yeah, that looks cool. I like it. It's called the Power-Up 3.0. And... yeah, control it with your iPhone. That's sweet.
Yeah, I'd love to see these guys get over $1 million and just knock the heck out of this thing. So, and they're well on their way.
That's so cool.
Yep. All right. And my pick this week, I kind of alluded to it when I was talking about Tommy Wiseau's horrible, awesome movie earlier, is The Room 2.
Really?
Yeah. Do you know about it? Did you know that?
Did it come out? Wait.
Yeah.
You're talking
about
the app, The Room 2.
Oh, I'm talking about the game, The Room 2. I'm not talking about a sequel to that movie.
I thought you were picking the movie.
Why would you make a sequel to that? It still plays in theaters every once in a while. There are screenings of it, which is ridiculous. If you haven't seen it, it's a challenge to actually watch the whole thing.
Room 2 came out. I'm buying it now.
Yeah, so it's $5. The Room 2, we're not talking about the movie anymore. You probably already know about it, but it's kind of a missed kind of feel puzzle game where you end up in a room and you have to you're presented with this box and you have to figure out the clues and find the special compartments and collect items and figure out where they go and read these letters that give you more clues about this crazy element that does who knows what, and you're transported to a different world and then, or a different location, and then you start off in The Room 2, which just came out. And yeah, it's $5. I haven't really played too much of it. I played like 1.5 chapters. It's just really cool. It's worth the $5. I bought it immediately when I saw it. It's really good on the iPad. They don't have an iPhone version of it yet. They did of the original game, The Room Pocket, which I don't know. It's better on an iPad. It's
much better.
And I should say that The Room right now is free. So if you've never played The Room, the first one, get The Room 2, but also get the first one and play that first because it's free. So check it out. It's cool. And with that, you can find the show notes and the picks, and we have communicators.com. Review us in iTunes and tell your friends. Feedback at wehavecommunicators.com is the email address to which you can send notes, complaints, suggestions, cool things to check out, all that stuff. 202-642-6667 is the phone number. You can call that, but the quality is bad, and you'll have to leave some kind of contact information if you want us to get back to you. Advertising is handled by Backbeat Media at backbeatmedia.com. Of course, check out the Mackie MR Mark IIIs at Mackie.com, MACKIE.com, and they're on sale all month, so just check them out. And you can even buy them at the at your local guitar center. Get the same discount. Jeff Gamet is at the Mac Observer, macobserver.com. He's at Jay Gamet on Twitter, and zazzle.com/JayGamet is where you can find all of his stuff on other stuff and the We Have Communicators mug. Thanks
all
for being
of which
here.
Makes for great holiday presents.
Indeed. Adam Christensen's at the MacCast, MacCast.com, at MacCast on Twitter, member.MacCast.com.
Yep. Hey, we probably should tell people about the 12 Days of Gifts app too. Since this,
oh, yes, we should.
This may be the last podcast before, I don't know if we'll do another one before we get to that date.
I think we'll do one tomorrow next week.
Will we? Okay, yeah. Well, let's tell people anyway. Yeah. Apple has an app called 12 Days of Gifts, and you'll be able to get like free songs and music and downloads, I'm assuming apps, for the 12 days following Christmas, so from December 26th to January 6th. But you have to get the app to do it, and I actually saw that pop up on Appler was how I found about it, interestingly
and
enough.
This is also the first year that it's usable in the United States as well.
Yeah, used to be only outside the U.S., so people probably want to download that one before the 26th.
Interesting. Yeah, I didn't. I saw that headline. I just thought it was something that you would get in the Apple Store app.
No, it's a separate app.
You actually have to have the app. That's why I wanted to bring it up.
Okay. Cool. Well, then I'll get that sent to me. And random question. I think both of you use Keynote. What do you use to as a clicker now? Because with the new Macs.
Remote app.
Yeah, remote app.
Oh. Like.
There's a Keynote remote app.
From Apple.
Oh, okay. All right. And so this, and then the jumping back, the 12 Days of Christmas thing.
12 Days of Gifts.
12 Days of Gifts. Is that, so that's an Apple app.
Yes.
Yes, it is.
And I can't find it. Okay, I'll have to look.
If you go to the App Store, it's one of the banners. Right after the Room 2 comes the 12 Days of Gifts banner.
Okay, fair enough.
And if you still can't find it, go to Mac Observer and look for 12 Days of Gifts because
oh, there it
we
is.
Have a link.
I'll go to Appler and look at the most popular apps, and it's in the list.
I see it. Oh.
Look at all these ways you can find this app, Michael.
Yeah, I found it now. Cool. All right. So I'm at Michael Johnston on Twitter. At GetAppler is the Appler Twitter. And, of course, Appler is GetAppler, GetAppler.com. And with that, we'll see you next time on We Have Communicators.
An internet communicator.
How are we going to communicate this?
A stylus.
We don't want to carry around a mouse, right? So what are we going to do? Oh, a stylus, right? We're going to use a stylus. No. Yuck. Who wants a stylus? You have to get them and put them away and you lose them. Yuck.